The executive order allows state bodies covered by the Brown Act to hold public meetings via teleconferencing. The public is encouraged to participate in the meeting telephonically by dialing the conference line listed above. They may submit written comments for prior consideration to the board members. Comments can be submitted to vmendoza at sbmissionacademy.org. Public comment on the day of the meeting can also be given during the public comment section of the meeting. So we're going to open up and call the meeting to order, and we'll take a roll call. Carol Stanford, present. Clara Fett,
present.
Michael Loy,
present.
John George,
present.
And Barbara Willebrand,
present.
So we have a quorum. So now we're going to do the Pledge of Allegiance, and I'm going to ask Mike Malloy, if he'll do that, everybody else put their phone on mute.
Everybody place your right hand over your heart. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all. That's what I'm saying.
You're perfect. That was good. Thank you so much.
Well, I didn't finish. So I got, oh, yeah, I did. Okay, thank you. I messed up.
You're good. You're fine. You didn't mess up at all. So now we're going to go into staff introductions, and we'll start with corporate officers.
Thank you, Madam President. This is Jeff Brown, Chief Executive Officer.
And welcome, Jeff. And then school staff.
Hello, Board. This is Jenna Yunus, Principal of San Diego Mission Academy.
And this is Jeff Martineau, Vice President, Charter Relations.
Kevin Ogden here. I'm the liaison to the Charter Authorizer.
Hi, Kevin. I'm glad to see you. Hi, and we're glad to see Jeff and Jenna. All right, well, legal counsel.
Yes, welcome, Bill Popson, legal counsel.
All right, and Bill, and then also advisors who are supporting agenda items for presenting.
Hello, everyone at the board. This is Keisha Sharifi. I'm the Chief Financial Officer with NLAC. Thank you.
Well, welcome, Keita. Anybody else? All right. Is there anyone else? We'll go ahead and start our meeting. So we are going to look at E, approve agenda for the March 2nd, 2021 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors. And is there any questions or discussion on E? And C, none. Can I have a motion and a second to pass E?
Mike Malloy makes a motion.
Okay, so Mike Malloy makes a motion.
John George second.
Okay. So Mike Malloy motioned and John George second. So we'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John George?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So it is unanimous. So now that E has passed. So now we're on F. Approved minutes of December 1, 2020, regular public meeting of the Board of Directors. And these are on page 6 through 12. Is there any questions or discussion on F? If not, can I have a motion and a second? Barbara Willebrand moved. Okay.
Claudette Beck, I'll second.
Okay, so Barbara Willebrand has motioned and Claudette Beck has seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John George?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So F has passed unanimously. Thank you, Board. So now we're on consent agenda. All items listed under consent agenda are considered by the Board to be routine and consistent with approved policies and practices of the charter school. The board will be asked to approve all of the consent agenda items by a single vote unless requested by a board member to be discussed and considered for action separately. A1 is the board will be asked to approve the service animal policy. A2, the board will be asked to approve the revised COVID-19 plan for virtual instruction for the 2020-21 school year, an addendum to the school health and safety plan. 3, the board will be asked to approve the 2021-22 parent-student handbook. 4, the board will be asked to approve the revised personalized learning policy. 5, the board will be asked to approve the 2021-22 school calendar. And 6, the board will be asked to approve the school accountability report card. Is there anyone that wants any of these taken off or wants to discuss them? If not, can I have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda item?
Mike Malloy makes a motion. John Doerr second.
All right. So Mike Malloy has made the motion and John Doerr has seconded. So we'll vote. Trent Stanford, aye. Bennett Deck,
aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Doerr?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So the consent agenda A, 1 through 6 is passed unanimously. So now we're in public comment. At this time, members of the public may address the board on any item within the subject matter's jurisdiction of the board, whether or not the item is on the agenda. If you would like to participate in public comment, you must have signed in before the commencement of the meeting. Also, our teleconference line is open to members of the public who wish to participate in public comment. The time allotted per presentation will not exceed 3 minutes, except in the case where a member of the public utilizes a translator, in which case the time allotted will not exceed 6 minutes. The total time allotted for public comment will not exceed 18 minutes per agenda item or 10 minutes per non-agenda item. In accordance with the Brown Act, no action may occur at this time, but it is the board's prerogative to hold a brief discussion, provide information to the public, provide direction to staff, or reschedule the matter for a future meeting. Is there anyone from the public who would like to introduce themselves? And Vanessa, has anyone contacted you?
Hi, this is Vanessa Mendoza reporting that no public comments were received.
All right, so now we're on 4, and we're on principal update. And Jenna, this is you.
Good afternoon, board. I hope you're all doing well. Most notably, the first item on my board report is that San Diego Mission Academy received an additional $10,000 grant from the Classroom for Futures Foundation, San Diego Foundation Partnership, and those funds can be spent on any COVID-19 recovery needs. We are planning to purchase student laptops and also create student care packages for the spring, similar to what we did in the fall. We got great feedback from our students sending school supplies and motivational items and the like. So we're very proud of that. So that's $20,000 this year that we've received and that we've been able to provide additional COVID-19 recovery needs for our students. Right now, our enrollment is at 160 students. It's been remaining pretty steady there. 29% of our students are over 18, and we've had 14 graduates since July 1st. I've included students by grade level for reference as it relates to our state testing program. And then also, 51% of our students are listed as socioeconomically disadvantaged, with 18.8% in special education services. We are in the middle of our district, I call it our district benchmark, our NWEA testing, which is our internal test that measures student growth in reading and math over time. And we tested 60% of students in the first week of this testing window. We have the CAS testing, which is the state required testing in English, language arts, math, and science. We will be testing 42 students in grades 6 through 8 and 11 and 12 at SDMA. And the English language proficiency assessment test window is open. That is 13 students who will be remote testing as English learners. So we've already begun testing those ELs, and we're gearing up to remote test those 42 students for state testing. We had quite a few successful student engagement events and are continuing to get increased student interaction with those events. We had tech talks to teach students how to use online tools. We had some writing workshops, social hours, college and career events, and virtual parenting circles. So we're continuing to support our students who are pregnant while parenting, and providing them with care packages, resources, guest speakers, and then just the additional camaraderie of other students who are experiencing the same types of challenges that they are. Notably for our San Diego region, we partnered with the Department of Rehabilitation to present on money management, financial aid, and self-advocacy and disability rights. We offered a Black College Expo through the San Diego County Office of Education, and then another community partner in charter education offered a Black History Month 3-day event, which we were able to offer to our students. We are working with a Riverside-based program called Launch, Earn and Learn Apprenticeship, and it's open to any Southern California resident. So we actually had one of our students who went to an information session, Michael, sign up for an apprenticeship in the IT security, cybersecurity industry. And after completing his last 19 credits, he will complete one semester of tuition-free coursework and apprenticeship, followed by paid work and mentorship in the industry. And this is a student that we've had since SDMA opened. And I spoke to mom last week, and she was very excited that he's finding something that he's excited about and that he's willing to work for. So we expect him to graduate very soon. I have some reflections from teacher Angela, who has been facilitating student writing and reading groups. She said book club has been having great discussions, and students are getting braver about making connections, sharing their thoughts and feelings, and actually leading discussion on some of the topics. That's in the right direction. She held the three workshops, writing workshops that I had previously mentioned. She said the workshops are going really well still. I tend to have 6 to 10 students on average now per week, and some students are showing up just to learn and have fun, not for credit. So I'm very proud of her and our students for attending those. That concludes my board report for March. Thank you.
Thank you. That was really uplifting. I really enjoyed that. Any other comments from any other board members? No? All right. Let's go to finance update with Ada.
Thank you, Board President. So this is Ita with NNAC. There are a couple of items on the agenda that I will discuss more in detail. There will be the audit for the school is ready, the annual audit, and the auditor will present that. It's also on the agenda. I will also present the second interim report to the board. And I also wanted to provide a status on the PPP loan forgiveness. The applications are out. We're working with the bank, OmniBank, to study and learn the requirements for the applications. All the backup documentation have been prepared. Loan forgiveness can be requested next fiscal year, and the area superintendent and the school officials have decided to apply for that in the next fiscal year. So I just wanted to inform the board. That concludes my section. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Any questions or comments from the board? All right, so we'll move on to 5C. The board will be asked to approve using the auditing firm Wilkinson, Hadley, and King for the 2021 audit. And this is Dita again. No, I actually passed 5 and 6. All right, let's go back to C, 4C, current vendor list.
Okay.
So, I don't know where I'm at. I just see Gita's name. All right, this is Jenna.
Hello again. Yes. The current vendor list is located in your board package on page 126. The attachment is a list of the school vendors with a brief description of services. As you can see, it includes various services for professional development, technology, benefits for our staff, et cetera. And we present this list to the board as informational twice a year. Notable on the San Diego vendor list is the First Vendor Access, Inc. They provide Workforce Innovation Opportunity Act resources or career resources for students who are 19 through 24 years of age, and we partner with them to enroll those students in a workforce partnership program so that we can serve them at San Diego Mission Academy. So we are grateful for that partnership, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Jen. So I do know where I'm at. We're on D. This is a 2021-22 board meeting date. This is in your packet on page 128. And board members, we'd like you to take this out. Make sure you put these on your calendars. Thank you so much for that. So now we're on 5 action items. The board will be asked to approve the June 30th, 2020 annual audit report for the school. And this is Jenna.
Thank you. Yes, the audit report is located on pages 130 on. The financial audits are required annually and must be submitted to the school's authorizer, the county office of ed, the state controller's office, the California Department of Education Charter Schools Division. And this audit report is required to be submitted by December 15th each year. However, for the 1920 fiscal year, the deadline was extended to March 31st, 2021. Wilkinson Hadley King & Co. performed the audit for the 1920 fiscal year and reviewed the school's documents, financial statements, policies, and procedures. So to explain this report in further detail, I'd like to introduce Kevin Sproul, an accountant at Wilkinson Hadley King & Co., who will review the audit report with the board.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for having me. I hope everyone's having a lovely day so far. I know that it'll now be even better because you get to listen to an audit report presentation. That's just living the dream. So what I do normally with my presentations is I do kind of a brief overview, going through the different sections, pointing out things that I think are important to note on the report. And then once I'm done with that, then I open it up for questions. As I go through the report, I'm going to be referencing the numbers at the bottom of the page. If you ever get out of sync with me, you know, you can just let me know and we'll make sure we're on the same page going forward. So I'm going to start at the very beginning. It's a very good place to start. Page number one, it's the independent auditor's report, the very first letter in the report. So the purpose of this letter is to express an opinion on the financial statements as a whole for the school. And you can see at the bottom of the first page, it says, in our opinion, the financial statements referred to above present fairly, in all material respects, the financial position of the San Diego Mission Academy as of June 30, 2020. So what this means is that the school had an unmodified audit report opinion. And that is the one that you want to get. That's the best one. So unmodified equals good. So as we go on from that letter, we go into the basic financial statements of the audit report. And these are made up of four statements. The first one being the statement of financial position, which is like the balance sheet. Then there's the statement of activities, which is like the income statement. And that is followed by the statement of functional expenses. And what the purpose of the statement of functional expenses does is, on the statement of activities, there's a very general summary of the expenses. And this next statement of functional expenses breaks that out into the various categories that it applies to. And so it immediately lets you see those exact categories where the expenses happen. And then finally, there's the statement of cash flows. I'm going to talk a little bit more about the financial health of the school when we come to the supplemental section. I just think it's a little bit more of a bird's eye view, which I like. But the balance sheet and the income statement, those are those basic financial statements where you can see the change in net assets and you can see the revenues, the expenses, all of those items. As we move on from the financial statements, we get into the notes to the financial statements. The purpose of these notes is to show the policies and procedures when it comes to the accounting for the school. And the other thing that they do is the balance sheet items themselves are laid out in more detail in this section. For example, the accounts receivable or the accounts payable, you know, it's just one line item on the balance sheet on the statement in that position, but in the notes, it actually breaks it out into the different parts that the AR, the accounts payable, the fixed assets, the different parts that those are made up of. And so it can be helpful if someone's trying to kind of get a better idea of some of the numbers or if they're trying to dig a little bit deeper into some of the numbers. That's in the notes section that can be helpful. Now, I want to go to the last page of the notes section, which is page number 18, to note M, COVID-19 impact and considerations. As a firm, we felt really strongly that there should be COVID notes in the audit report because of the very large impact that it's had on everybody over this past year. you know, we've done remote work, you've done remote work. We all got to see our kids a lot more. Sometimes that's good, sometimes that's bad. But we wanted to have a note in here that kind of addressed, you know, a little bit of that situation where it talks about how it affected the school a little bit more on a personal level. And so we felt that we wanted to add that into this section. And then we also have a COVID note that I'm going to talk about in a second in the supplemental section, which is the next area. And these supplementary schedules are required of the K-12 audit guide. And so the first one being the organization structure, followed by the schedule of average daily attendance, or ADA. And this is one of the other ones I want to talk about. On this schedule, you will see a note regarding Senate Bill 117. And the reason why that's important is this established a hold harmless date for districts and charter schools in the state for the 2020-21 year. And what that hold harmless means is the ADA level for 2019-20 is going to transfer to the 2020-21 year. There are some provisions that allow school districts and classroom-based charter schools to petition to have an increase in enrollment and attendance applied so they can actually have an increase in ADA. But the reason I wanted to make sure that I talked about it here is for non-classroom-based charter schools, they are specifically excluded from those provisions. So the ADA 1920 is going to be the ADA for 2021. As we go through two more schedules, the schedule of financial trends and analysis on page 22, that's the next area that I want to stop on. Now, typically, there, you know, for a school that's been operating several years, there will be multiple years of financial data that a school can rely on. However, because this is the very first year, we just have 2020 and then the budgeted 2021 revenue expense numbers. So here you can see that for this year, there was a deficit in spending. So the amount of money that went out was actually more than the amount of revenue that came in. Now, this is very, very normal in the first year of a charter school. It happens very regularly because there are a lot of costs associated with the startup of a charter school that either one, do not continue into years past, or two, there's a lot of economies of scale that happen within a charter school. And so for the first several, you know, X number of students, that the cost is higher, and then as you add in more and more students, that cost becomes a lot lower. But because of Senate Bill 117, that's why I think it's very, very important that the cost and revenue need to be looked at very closely this next year, because there was budgeted an increase, and with the Senate Bill 117, that's not going to be able to be recognized. And so in the second year, it's very important that the costs, you know, make sure that they're a lot more controlled going in so that the school can be successful going forward. The first couple of years of a charter school, those are the, you know, the tenuous time when it's really important that they get a hold of exactly how they want to operate, and then they do that efficiently. So that's an important schedule. And so on next year's audit report, you'll be able to see the 2020 and then the actual 2020-21, and then you'll see budgeted 2022. And hopefully, you know, as we get through that, everything will look a little bit better. But it is important to constantly look at ways to improve efficiency and to keep costs down. As we go through the rest of the supplementary schedules, there's, you know, the reconciliation, and that's the unaudited actual that the school is required to file. That's a reconciliation schedule between those and the audit report. Typically, there might be $1 or $2 in rounding That happens just in the accounting, because we do the audit report to the dollar versus the accounting not being to the dollar. But this year there were no rounding errors as far as on that reconciliation schedule. And that leads us to the other independent auditor's reports. The first one being a report over internal control of the financial statements through government auditing standards, and the second being the state compliance report. And those reports are summarized on the schedule of auditor's results on page 30. You'll see the type of auditor's report issued over financial statements was unmodified, and the type of auditor's report issued on the state compliance was unmodified. If you remember from the first letter, that's good. Thumbs up for unmodified. The other things on this schedule, you can see that there are areas to mark yes or no if there are issues with material weaknesses, significant deficiencies, or any noncompliance. Those are marked no this year, which means there are no findings to report, which you will also see on page 31 under financial statement findings none and state award findings none. Now, I do like to kind of close my presentation at this findings section with a reminder that having a finding is not the end of the world. It does happen from time to time with various schools, and the biggest thing that I want boards to take away is that a finding has a lot of negative connotation with it, but it's just another way that a process or an internal control can be improved so that the operation of the overall school is improved. As auditors, we try to work together with clients to kind of do like a proactive approach. We have clients email us quite often with questions of things that they want to implement, which we find helpful because we can catch things early before they become a problem. Because I'll tell you right now, writing up findings, it takes time on our end. You know, we've got to make sure we have all of our I's dotted and T's crossed for that finding, because that the state then goes to the school and wants explanations. So it's a lot of work on our end to write a finding. So we love it when schools will work with us because we have less findings. And we're able to maintain that great relationship where they ask us questions and we answer them, and it kind of helps each other out. And we also think that the schools, the questions that they ask, hopefully they're increasing their own knowledge internally. We had that with San Diego Mission Academy a little bit this last year, just in preparation for the audit this year and next year. I spoke with some of the administration on some questions, and I think that's great. I think that's a really good area to be in. I just like to end with that, where just remember, if there ever is a finding, it's not the end of the world, and just take it on face value, and there's always the opportunity for the school to then respond with whatever they want to talk about and why the finding happened, what they're doing to improve it. There's always that opportunity. So any questions?
Thank you so much, Kevin. Any questions from the board member? If not, can I have a motion and a second to approve 5A from Water Railway Move?
Claudia Beck, second.
Thank you, lady. Barbara Willebrand has moved, and Claudia Beck is second. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudia Beck?
Aye.
Mike Miller?
Aye.
Don George?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So 5A has passed unanimously. So now we're on 5B. The board will be asked to approve the second interim report and revised budget for the 2021 school year. This is on pages 168 through 178. And this is Gita.
Thank you, Board President. Hello, Board. This is Gita with NNAC. So I'm going to go over the second interim report. The report actually covers the first 7 months of the operation That is July 1st, 2020 to January 31st, 2021. In this report, you can find financial sections that include original budget, revised budget, actual to date, and projected year-end totals. In this case, that matches the revised budget as they are based on the same data and assumptions. The report also includes the projected school reserve at the year end and ABA information, which is the last page of the report. As we informed the board in the first interim report back in November, the projected funding ABA is already known, as Kevin just mentioned, due to ABA hold funded. So the funding of the school is based on last year's D2 ABA, not the actual ABA. This allows for an accurate projection of the year-end funding in the revised budget, because that number will not change. Just like the first interim report presented back in November, the second interim report shows noticeable changes of financial projections compared to the original budget. These differences are due to changes to the proposed state budget between the time that the original budget was developed last year and the time of the development of this revised budget. The revisions include higher funding rates, changes in funding for ABA due to ABA hold funds, and additional funds from stimulus funding due to pandemic. We're going to go over the Form A, which is the last page of the financial second interim report that shows the average daily attendance, or ABA. You can find that on that page, the ABA is projected for the original budget. It was projected at 300 for the fiscal year 2021. The projection was substantially higher than the prior year's attendance. As I mentioned, due to ABA hold harmless, the school is capturing G2 ABA from last fiscal year. So that number, if you look, that was 108. The reduction in funding ABA negatively affects the school's revenue and operations. However, we will see in the next section that there were some small increases in funding rates and additional revenues that helped or to offset that small degree of the reduction in funding ABA. We're going to now review the revenue and expenditures for the first 7 months of the year. That's Form 62. Which starts at the beginning of the report. The school is projecting the total revenue of $1.4 million and a projected excess revenue of $35,000. State and federal revenue projections are similar to the ones that were recorded in the first interim report, primarily, again, due to that media hold harmless. Compared to the original budget, columns A and B, state revenue from the LCFS sources decreased from $3.2 million to $1.2 million, and that's due to decrease in funding ABA. The decrease was somewhat offset by an increase of about 8% in LCFS funding rate, and also the federal revenue had a small increase due to additional funding from the federal portion of the Learning Loss Mitigation Fund. That was $8,000 through the CARES Act. Other state revenues decreased from $223,000 to $105,000 due to a lower funding ABA. The reduction of revenue from a lower funding ABA was also offset at a small degree by an increase in funding rate for state FES and some additional funds from the state portion of Learning Loss Mitigation Fund. On the expense side, the total school budgeted expenses this year is $1.2 million. Compared to prior projections in the first interim, total expenditures are slightly lower. When comparing the revised budget to the original budget, columns A and B, the revised budgeted expenditures decreased from $3.3 million to $1.4 million. This decrease in expenses include a decrease in salaries and benefits spending from $1.9 million to $516,000, a and that's primarily due to decrease in all school staff, teachers, support staff, and administrators. Budget for purchases decreased from $338,000 to $113,000. And that's due largely to a decrease in supplies and equipment. Budgeted operating expenses decreased from $935,000 to $369,000. And that's due to noticeable decrease in travel, instructional services, and communication due to pandemic. If you refer to the next position section of the report, that's item F as in Frank, you will see that with the current reserve of -$445,000 and the projected excess revenue of $35,000, the school will end up fiscal year 2021 with a projected reserve of -$409,000. As the CBSD informed the board, current year projections are showing only a moderate improvement in school reserves from previous years. This is a reflection of the limited funding the school is receiving this year due to ABA hold funding, which is limiting current year's growth. Receipt of larger funding and improvement of school revenue. San Diego Mission Academy has prepared a multi-year plan that includes moderate growth after current year when funding will support growth of enrollment and will gradually build a healthy school reserve. The school does not expect any big changes to the revised budget through year end, but continuously we support the school staff and the school officials and area superintendent to monitor school funding, instructional spending, and more importantly, the cash flow on a regular basis. I thank everyone, and that concludes my section. If there's any questions, I'll be happy to answer.
Thank you, Gita. We'll be happy to see them allow us to have more students come in, that's for sure. Any questions for the rest of the board or comments? If not, can I have a motion and a second to approve 5B?
Paula Wilbrand moved. Claudette Beck second.
Paula Wilbrand has moved. Claudette Beck is second. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy? Mike Malloy?
Aye.
Thank you. John Dorch?
Aye.
Barbara Wilbrand? Aye. So 5B has passed unanimously. So we're on 5C. The board will be asked to approve to use the auditing firm Locus and Hadley and King for the 2021 audit. And this is Gita.
Thank you. So the, every year we recommend to the board to use an auditing firm, and Locus and Hadley King and Company has been doing the audit for the school for a couple of years. So they are an approved California Department of Education auditing firm. And due to the regulations, the school must select an auditing firm from the list that is approved by CDE or California Department of Education. The firm partners rotate every 6 years, which is highly recommended for internal control. And Kevin Sproul, who just presented, actually took over fiscal year 2021 as an engagement partner. So he's new as a new partner. Annual cost of the audit for the school is $12,000 annually, and we recommend to continue using Wilkins and Hadley for the audit for the school. Thank you.
Any questions from the board? Can I have a motion and a second to approve 5C?
Board member Dorch moved to approve. Mike Malloy will second it.
Well, John Dorch moved and Mike Malloy is seconded. Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dorch?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So 5C has passed unanimously. We're now on 5D. The board will be asked to approve the updated signers for all bank accounts. And this one has my name on it. So this time we're going to remove Dr. Christine Kasich, and we're going to add, we already have on there, Jeff Brown, Jerry Vincent, and Jeff Martineau. So what we're voting on is basically the removal of Dr. Christine Kasich. Are there any questions on this? All right, let's have a motion and a second. There's a Mike Malloy motion, and Claudette, did you second?
Claudette Beck, second.
Okay, so Mike Malloy motion and Claudette Beck seconded. So we'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dorch?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So it has passed unanimously. So now we're on 6. Additional corporate officers and board members, observations and comments. Mr. Brown.
Thank you, Madam President. Jenna, I'd like to congratulate you on your grant and using that to advance that student, our students' progress is well taken, so I appreciate that. And maintaining your population level as we continue with the COVID problems shows that there's potential in the future of the growth. Angela, excited on that workshop program that you've got. It really is something that these students love, and it seems that this gets going forward also. So keep it up. Kevin, I heard your voice back there. Welcome. I also want to congratulate our auditors, especially to give us that audit report in such a way that it almost makes me understand it. So I want to thank you for that. And the budget people, your finance people are doing just a marvelous job. I really want to thank you for that. But it's well appreciated. And the board. So having closed today, I want to thank you all for the effort you put forth. That's mine.
This is Board President Stanford. I just want to thank everybody for coming on. Jenna, you're doing a great job, and Angela, the teacher I was an English teacher, so I love what she's doing, and she's inspiring young hearts, and this is the time to speak out. I want to thank everybody who's working so hard, and the finances, and enjoying these new reports. They're a little easier to read, and I think we're all going to really get into them. Any other board members comments? If not, can I have a motion and a second to adjourn?
Claudia Beck, I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I'm Willebrand, second. Thank you, lady. So Claudia Beck motions and Barbara Willebrand second. So we'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudia Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dorch?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
All right, everybody, we are adjourned. Have a lovely rest.